What's going on, Badger Nation? Welcome to the PPC Den podcast, the world's first and longest running podcast all about Amazon advertising tips, tricks, and strategies to make your Amazon PPC life a little bit easier, a little bit more profitable. Today is a fun one. I have my good friend Brent from AMZ Pathfinder back on the show. Brent has been playing around with Amazon Marketing Cloud. And if you're unfamiliar with what Amazon Marketing Cloud is, here's a quick primer. You have normal Amazon ads reporting where it's like, how many clicks did I get on a sponsored product ad? How many purchases did I get from that sponsored product ad? Fairly straightforward. We're all comfortable with that. But what if you wanted to know questions like, how many people clicked on a sponsored brand ad and a sponsored product ad? What is the conversion value of that group of people? That's what Amazon Marketing Cloud can answer for us. So it's a really interesting level of reporting that Amazon has available, specifically to the Amazon DSP audience. And Brent has been playing around with that a lot. And even if you're not advertising on DSP, it's going to be useful because a lot of DSP-based features made their way into the Amazon Advertising Console into sponsored display ads. So I think elements of Amazon Marketing Cloud will eventually trickle down to the standard ad console. So I thought this was a really interesting one to get exposed. We covered some of the different kinds of reports there are. We define it. We talk about the composition of getting this data. And of course, this is for DSP people, but I think has big implications for the future of normal Amazon sponsored product, sponsored brand, sponsored display. So tune in, have a good one, and I'll see you inside the Badger Den.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bids, set placements too. Now bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of broad keywords, but I've got through. We are the PPC Den, my friend.
What's going on, Badger Nation? And what's going on, Brent from AMZ Pathfinder? My good friend, how are you doing today over in France?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Mike. Can't complain. Feeling good, doing good.
This is probably our 87th podcast we've done together, so thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Yeah, I wanted to note this is episode 256, right? So that's a good computer number. All the nerds will appreciate that one.
Perfectly divisible by eight, some number of times. I'm going to say probably 32.
Yeah, just for that reason alone, I'm already excited.
There was a really interesting stat that said if humans had only eight fingers, we potentially would have developed computers like 1,000 years earlier. Because like we would have developed math faster, would be in base eight. Kind of an interesting thought.
Oh, that's interesting. I have many digressions to go from there, but I think we're trying to keep it on one topic today. And that's if we had eight fingers.
I wonder if there's any interest in just me riffing for an hour.
Mike's anthropology hour.
Yes. So I'm pretty stoked today because we're talking about something that maybe some people in the Amazon community have heard of, but not many people have dabbled with. So we're going to do, if you're up for it, we're going to do rapid fire questions about Amazon Marketing Cloud. And if you're all right, Brent, are you ready to just jump right in?
I am. If this is like boxing, I've been doing a lot of training. I've been doing a lot of bag work. Been working on the footwork recently for AMC. We're getting in the ring with AMC. So yeah, I feel comfortable. See if I can get out there and take a few hits, but let's jump into it.
Alrighty, Brent. Question number one. What is Amazon Marketing Cloud?
Okay, we're starting off easy. Yeah, so AMC, your Amazon Marketing Cloud, it's not the meme stock. It's not one of the other many, many acronyms that are kind of associated with Amazon. It's marketing cloud, right? So what do they mean by marketing cloud? Well, the last word gives you a bit of a clue. Think of it as like a database that's in the cloud, specifically on Amazon's AWS servers. And basically what it is something that you can query, like say business and marketing questions related to your Amazon advertising presence, not just on sponsored ads, but all the different platforms that exist where Amazon advertising takes place. So think of it like your repository, your store of information that you can go to and request with SQL, structured query language, which is kind of like a scripting or programming language a little bit. And then you can have like business-based business questions and like theories that you can either debunk or support, get data for, or get data against based on your questions to this marketing cloud.
Amazon Marketing Cloud. And we're going to talk about, I think our next question is even going to help us better visualize it. So let's jump in to question number two. Alrighty, Brent, this is an interesting one because before our call, I was actually doing some reading over from AWS, Amazon Web Services. And the question is, how does Amazon Marketing Cloud work?
Right. So the important thing to remember here is that it's gathering signals from every part of your Amazon advertising efforts, whether they be sponsored ads, DSP, or the other things like over-the-top video, CTV, like connected TV. There's many different like tentacles of the Amazon advertising octopus these days. It's a very large beast and continues to grow. So Amazon wanted to have one central location for that. But that means that the data that's in there is like vast, right? So it's a bit overwhelming to fully comprehend like everything that is inside of AMC. And in order to pull from it, you have to use SQL, like I mentioned. And what you get back is a basically like a large like CSV file. And it's kind of hard to like pick through it unless you have some kind of database you can put it into and then use a visualization tool like Google Looker. Like their like business intelligence thing or other tools that you can use to address the database. But that's basically how it works. Like you as the advertiser and the person asking these business questions are asking Amazon to send it to you with these like refined queries, and then they're sending you the raw data. What you do with that raw data, how you display it, how you address it is really kind of up to you, if that makes sense. Is that clarified a bit? It's a deep topic.
Yeah. And to add to that, basically the way that it works too, is it just begins to listen to every single action that's taking place inside anything Amazon marketing related. So every single click, it takes that data and it sends it somewhere about who clicked it, when they clicked on it, what are the things that they clicked it. And then they connect the dots to other actions that user ID has done. Would you say that's exactly. And then they put it all in a bucket, and then you can ask this bucket, can you send me a particular thing? So like, send me a request. I want to know this piece of information. Would you say that's fairly accurate? It's just sort of logging every single action.
Yeah. And in Amazon's parlance, this would be called like events, right? So there's like events that occur, and maybe those events are an ad impression or an ad click, or someone who even searched for a keyword and then impressed upon your ad but didn't click. Like that's also something that you can pick out in there. And Mike, I think you did a better job explaining it than I did, honestly. But the user ID is another thing we should come back to, which is there's a common piece of data in all of the schemas, all of the tables in the database that is AMC, right? So you can say, here's a unique user ID. And when Amazon gives a user ID, they're not saying like, this is John and he's 23 and he lives in Idaho. They're saying like, scrambled name, blah, 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 at email.com, whatever. It's like a string of characters and numbers that's unique. So it's what Amazon really stresses. It's like privacy safe. Exactly. It's a hashed value. So you can't get anyone's like information out of it personally. But what you can see is what journey did that individual take? And so we have an indication of, what people's journey through like advertising was like. And that user ID is in like every table. So it ties it all together, essentially.
Let's jump into question number three. Okay, so I thought this was an interesting question, which is, how does Amazon Marketing Cloud data differ than the normal Amazon ads reporting that we might see? And I thought this was an interesting one because, you know, hey, don't we already have information about who clicked on an ad and then what happened after it? And I think that this question really illuminates, in case anyone's unclear about what Amazon Marketing Cloud does, it goes from like who clicked on one sponsor, like how many clicks did I have on a sponsored product ad? And then what was the action from that sponsored product ad? And then you might not know, well, of those people that clicked on that sponsored product ad, what else did they do?
Right.
So yeah, so that's one way that it differs from like the normal ads reporting. Instead of just telling you in, you know, how many clicks you got on an ad, it tells you of the people that clicked on this ad, some people also did this other thing and some people also did this other thing. And perhaps maybe we can even share our screen here to maybe illuminate that. So maybe walk us through this in terms of like how Amazon Marketing Cloud reporting differs from maybe DSP reporting, differs from normal Amazon ads reporting. Talk to us a little bit about this graphic we're looking at and maybe describe it for people too who are audio only.
Sure. So one of the key things to remember with Amazon Marketing Cloud is since it's all encompassing, it's tying together the upper funnel and the lower funnel in Amazon's ad stack. I think a lot of what is covered on this show, rightly so, is really the lower funnel, right? We're talking about sponsored products, sponsored display, sponsored brands, and all the intricacies and complications therein, because there are many. DSP, I'm sure, is on the show. I know I think we've talked about DSP before too. But those things are kind of all in their own individual buckets. Like you're going to get reporting for DSP that's related to DSP. It doesn't know about your sponsored display campaigns inside of your account. It knows a little bit, but not much, right? And same thing with sponsored products. We get one piece of the puzzle, one piece of the picture with sponsored products. We get to see the attribution and sales and stuff there. But how is that impacted by spend other parts of the funnel like DSP? Or what we could see outside of this graphic, which is like upper funnel going into lower funnel from left to right here, would be something even further left. You know, if we're looking even further upper funnel is like TV ads or like impressions on ads on Twitch. Those signals are also put into AMC. And so AMC is really meant to be the place where all those things can come together. And it's not meant to replace the reporting in these places. The reporting in all these other spaces is still entirely valid and you should continue using that. There's no reason to stop doing that. AMC is meant to answer specific business questions that can only be answered with the data that's in AMC because it is able to have that top-down view on everything that's in the Amazon ads ecosystem is, I guess, how I would describe it. And all the data flows back to it. There are some things in it that you can't find other places, like the example that we have here at the very bottom of the funnel, the lower funnel part, is the add to wish list and add to cart. You know, so there's data given yet again at the user ID level. So you can see individual actions by either aggregate or individual shoppers, like have they added to wish list? Have they added to cart? And that's information. I don't think we have too many other places, actually. So it does add additional layers there. But it's important to understand that this crosses and kind of removes the boundaries between those other like buckets, if you will.
Right. Like a typical sponsored product report will only tell you how many clicks a particular ad had and then how many purchases that ad had. But you know, the event tracking of like how many people clicked on the sponsored product ad and then added to cart is known somewhere. It's just not given to us in every single report.
And what did that person do before they did that? Like, where did they come from before that? Did they see it on their Fire TV? Did they see an ad on their Kindle, actually? Well, now we start to create a more complete picture about what their journey was. You know, Amazon talks a lot about like the customer journey with AMC. Now we can start to stitch it together and understand at what points in the journey is it necessary for us to step in with an ad or to increase budget here or look at budget and say, actually, that's useless. Let's decrease budget there. And that's the whole, like the bigger picture, I guess.
Talk to us about what we're looking at here, which is a schema explorer. And I'll just describe it here for people. You know, I'm inside Amazon ads, potential options that I could run with. I have sort of, you know, tell me about conversions with relevance, DSP clicks, DSP views, sponsored ads traffic. And then I can sort of drill down and begin to see like, okay, include a little bit of this data, include a little bit of that data. What exactly am I looking at here? And then also this screen too, which as I select those things, I have a little query editor where I can build these sort of searches and I say like, hey, show me DSP impressions grouped by number of branded searches with conversions similar to a particular keyword. You know, there's a whole bunch of different things that I'm doing on the screen where I'm sort of building up this query where I'm asking for data. And then on the left side are some of those variables. So tell me, mm-hmm. you know, what this query editor is doing.
Sure. So let's start with the very fundamentals here. This is actually part of the ad console, which we all know and love, right? We're in there every day, all the time. But if you go on the left side, there's that reporting area, and there is an area that says Amazon Marketing Cloud. And that, if you have access to it, you have it enabled, it breaks it out into this. And this has a couple of things, right? So the one we're looking at is the query editor, where you said it correctly, Mike, we're building a query. It's not just something you write in 5 minutes and go, oh, there you go. Okay, let's get the answer to, you know, life in the universe. It takes actually a good understanding of how to build it, what variables to put in, which is where the Schema Explorer comes in and helps us here, because it's there for us to be able to browse around in that and find the different bits of data and the data points that we want, you know, how they're defined, what the data type is, how we can request it, and what kind of return we're going to get from it when we do request it. And then we use that to help us build the query. And that's the query editor, the main part we see on screen here. And we set some parameters like a date range, time zone. I'm already inside of a specific AMC instance at this time. Any AMC instance is for one account. You can't query multiple accounts because, yet again, the privacy aspect of this is super important. Amazon's really, really particular about that. So you're talking to one account. You're building one query to answer a specific question. And that Schema Explorer is just there to help you understand what the data that you can request is. So there's a one there that says conversions. If you were to actually click on that, you would have a whole list of other things that break out, and there's tables inside of that. And you can say like, what are the 7-day conversions? What are the 24-hour conversions? What are the, I think one of the categories is actually 10 minutes. So what are the conversions that happened in 10 minutes or under? And then you can say, all right, now we know a lot about conversions. Let's bring that in and lay it over the data we have about DSP. How did these DSP impressions impact conversions, and on what time frame? Someone saw a DSP ad. Did they buy a week later? Did they buy 10 minutes later? That's the kind of a question you could answer with DSP if you really wanted to. But you need to craft a query that's intelligent enough to give you that data in a manageable way, let's say.
And that's a perfect segue into our next question here. So let's actually talk about some of those reports that you can create with Amazon Marketing Cloud. I'm going to shout out some and sort of talk to us about what they are. So the first one is a campaign deep dive for reach and frequency.
Right. So help me with the definitions here, Mike, if I screw them up a bit, because I know you have a good advertising background as well, of course. But when I think about reach and frequency, so frequency is how many times someone saw an ad, right? Let's talk about that one first, which is like with display advertising, someone can see an ad 14 times. Well, maybe they see it 15, 16, 17 times. And actually, those times are not adding anything to our overall mm-hmm. advertising funnel, right? 15 times is enough. 14 times is enough. That's what we would call like saturation, right? So that person has seen it enough.
Conversions by frequency.
Exactly. Yeah. Like how many times does someone need to see it before they do it? We don't need to spend any more money on 15, 16, 17 impressions. We can stop at 14 or like try to aim for 14. That's one. And for reach is like of the potential people that we can reach, how many of them have we met with our advertising efforts and what is left to do that? So you can figure these things out at the campaign level, especially for like larger display campaigns with Marketing Cloud.
Right. Like this obviously has a lot of DSP based utility where you can say, okay, how many times did someone view one of my DSP ads? What was the frequency of that? And then I can mm-hmm. ask for conversions by that amount of frequency. So it's like how many people converted seeing it one time or two times or three times or four times. And oh, by the time they view it 12 times, you know, there's no incremental benefit in viewing those ads. So yeah. So like asking questions like that, that's the first one. Second one, conversion rate analysis by incremental ad exposure mix or media mix analysis. What do these words mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of words. That's a lot of words, isn't it?
It's a good, beautiful sentence.
Beautiful sentence, structured very succinctly. I think what Amazon means by media mix analysis, because they talk about this a lot too, is essentially what is the combination of different ad types, formats, and maybe even like bidding, right? So there's CPC bids, CPM bids, there's display ads, there's PPC ads, there's video, there's static, there's, you know, there's kinds that move like GIF images, there's all kinds of ways to reach people. So what mix of those different media types and advertising types is effective? And what conversion rate do you get from adding them together, and in what sequence, I guess, would be the right way to think about it. So is it more effective when we hit somebody with sponsored products, sponsored brands, and they've already seen a DSP ad, for example? And if that's true, which of those DSP ads is more effective? Is it the static images they saw when they were reading like the New York Times or something like that? Or is actually video working better for this like segment of customers, because maybe the product is extremely visual or something like that? Like it's a delicious looking food, you know, thing that they can buy, as an example. So that is kind of...
Is that similar to journey assessment?
Yeah, I think that's where these things kind of have some overlap, right? Because you can also say, what is the order in which they saw something, and which combination of that order of views is the one that's like most effective. I'll give you an example that we've actually seen from some client accounts. Like really classic combo with clients that are spending like a sufficient amount on DSP is someone will see a DSP ad, and then they will probably see a sponsored brands ad because it's like such a prominent place on Amazon if they go and search actually in the ecosystem. But then they'll probably actually end up clicking a sponsored products ad, and that's where they'll end up buying. But they've been exposed to three different ads. And so, you know, that's the journey that they've taken. And maybe that category, that journey type, is the one that has like the most sales attributed to it, because it's the order in which they were exposed to ads. Now, this is not saying anything about the actual dollar value or the time between them. That's a whole nother question, which can also be answered by AMC. But, you know, just to stick to that particular example.
Talk to us about audience insights. You know, there's an audiences tab inside Amazon Marketing Cloud. What can we learn about sort of audiences that got exposed to our Amazon ads?
Yeah, this could be taken two ways, actually. I realize now that you mention it, because audience can mean two things in AMC. The one is like who is looking at our ads, which is something that Amazon is not giving us yet again on the individual level, right? We don't know about someone's individual, like let's say gender, age, location, that kind of thing. That information we can only get in aggregate, right? Because for privacy and safety reasons, Amazon is like, okay, you can tell that, you know, 30% of people, you know, were like female in this segment, but you can't say like, this was Stacy and she lives in Iowa and this is her phone number. Mm-hmm. There's none of that kind of stuff. So you can get that information in aggregate. And there's other like elements to that. Like, I guess like, you know, if you go and play around in DSP, you can see things like estimated income and, you know, like targeting by geographic, things like this. Smartphone usage versus desktop, like browser, all these different things are like audience attributes that someone has that you can request from AMC. The other thing with audience would be DSP audiences, which I'm not sure we've ever talked about actually, Mike, like this idea of you can run a query in AMC and it gives you results, and you can build an audience in DSP with the results of that query you've run. So
yeah, like we're looking at one right here. This audience query will help you reach users who have shown interest in your products by viewing the detail page, but have not completed the purchase. Or that classic viewed the product, but not purchased.
Yeah. Classic like remarketing, retargeting, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And that was just a simple example that we ran recently as a proof of concept for that. But that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, or add it to cart, but haven't purchased. Yeah. Even
maybe my favorite one, Mike, that I don't think you can even do on DSP without AMC, is you can make an audience in AMC of people who have searched for a particular keyword and then have impressed upon like an ad or are looking around for that keyword. And then you can retarget to them with DSP. So they didn't even see your product, but they impressed, you know, they had an impression impressed upon an ad. That's like one step removed. That can be a much larger audience, because there are minimums for how big the audience must be in order to build a DSP thing you can actually target.
Funny enough, that's been in Google Ads for like maybe 5 years, where it's like you're targeting people who have searched for something, but they maybe didn't see your product. It's like, oh, okay, like I can get these people. And that allows you to do stuff like you know, if you're selling like a lawnmower that like deals with a certain kind of grass, you can target people that search the kind of grass, so they haven't even gotten to the lawnmower phase yet. So it's like, okay, if somebody searched this for this type of grass, they're going to need this lawnmower, that type of thing.
I love that idea. Wow. I didn't even know those lawnmowers even existed.
Yeah. We're living in the year 3000 over here. Let's talk about custom attribution. This is another really interesting thing too, which is how do we attribute some sales, or like how do sales figures change when we switch up the attribution? So talk us through this one.
There's this idea of attribution. Some of the audience is probably familiar, but let's like revisit it quickly, where who gets the credit for the sale on the ad, right? Traditionally, Amazon is last touch attribution. That means if a shopper goes through and they look at a DSP ad, they go look at a sponsored brands ad, maybe they click on it, maybe they don't, but then they ultimately purchase from a sponsored products ad. Guess who gets all the credit? The sponsored products ad. It takes home the medal and, you know, shows it to its parents and says, I did it, right? But the poor DSP ad and the sponsored brands ad, they're left out in the cold. One nice thing about AMC is that you can actually change your attribution model. You can say, okay, cool, let's do first touch attribution. So now in this situation, who gets credit? Well, actually the DSP ad gets credit because it was the one who first introduced this shopper to the brand. Or you can do what they call linear attribution, which is every single touch point gets the same amount. So each of them is 33.3% credible for doing this. Or you can make your own custom attribution. You can weight it differently. You can say, okay, we want DSP to be like 20% and we want like sponsored brands to be like 45%. And then the last one we want to be like 35%. Okay, we're going to break this out separately. So that opens up a whole other possibility, because one of the reports we've run doing that is, let's look at the different sales in the account and then let's look at them with first, last, and linear attribution and see how the numbers look. In that case, it's really funny to see like, oh, DSP actually contributed a good deal if you look at this with first touch attribution, which means, okay, that was the top of the funnel. That was where people were introduced. And if you give it linear, oh, it's funny to see how it's spread out amongst the different touch points as they go. And then which one truly has like the biggest amount if they're all given equal weight. So that's what's meant by attribution and custom attribution.
And it's related to this sort of last one too, I think. Omnichannel impact is another capability here. Somewhat related, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So omnichannel just means, you know, what potential advertising channels within the Amazon ecosystem, of course, because we are talking about AMC here specifically. So we can't pull in information from Google or Bing or, you know, Facebook. That's maybe what a wider definition of omnichannel means. I'm curious what omnichannel also means to you, Mike, because I think the definitions on omnichannel are like a little bit slippery. But when they're all trying to say omnichannel with Amazon, they're trying to say like within our Amazon ecosystem, right? Yeah. Like, so it comes in a couple different places. Like, you know, Twitch is different from sponsored ads. You can't set up a Twitch ad. Well, at least I don't think you can yet inside of Advertising Console. But that would be considered like omnichannel. And then which one of those is effective?
Awesome. So we've got a lot of different capabilities here. Now let's jump into our last section here, which is how to register, how to get started. So let's jump into this next section. Alrighty, Brent. So I'm going to throw three questions at you, which is along the same vein, meaning like, is this appropriate for every single Amazon advertiser out there? Who is it appropriate for? Who is it maybe not useful for? How do people get started with it? You know, if they're a good fit for it, talk to us about that. Is it just for DSP people?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is maybe like the you know, real life has a surprising amount of details, right? I've heard that expression somewhere, but it's definitely true of AMC. So your last question there was good, because I think that for, agencies and advertisers, you know, broadly defined as anybody spending money on Amazon is selling physical products, or even non-endemic. So if you're spending a lot of money on DSP, this would also be appropriate for you, even if you're not selling physical products. But you do need to be spending with Amazon DSP. That's like the first requirement. And when I say spending a substantial amount, I mean probably more than 10K USD a month. I would say that's probably like the starting gate where it starts to make sense to really dive into this data. If that's the case, my recommendation is to get in touch with your Amazon rep, your agency, a tool provider that can offer such a thing. Cause there's a couple out there that do like AMC work these days, and get an AMC instance straight away, because actually having an AMC instance is free. It does not cost you anything. The cost is in the, having the people on the team, the know-how, the skills, the time and energy to actually query it properly and then do something with that raw data that it spits out. Cause it is, you know, fairly raw. It's just a big CSV, like I mentioned earlier, in many cases.
Can if you try to open it in Excel? Mm-hmm. Can you get Amazon Marketing Cloud access by only being eligible for DSP? Meaning, like you say, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing DSP. They get you started on DSP, and then you're like, ah, on second thought, I'm going to not use the budget here. And so you like have DSP, but you're not actually spending DSP.
I think you could do that. Yeah. But then my question would be, what utility is AMC to you if you're not putting any money through DSP? Because that's one of the biggest like data sources for it. I mean, it pulls from many other areas. And I have a theory, Mike, that in the future, they're going to make AMC available just for advertisers that are spending like over a certain amount with sponsored ads, because there's a lot you can learn about sponsored ads too. But really the magic of it, like we went over earlier, is that upper funnel and the bottom funnel and like the marriage between those two. And DSP is like the gateway to a lot of upper funnel stuff. More of that is coming into sponsored ads, of course. I mean, we just had sponsored TV launch like last week or something like that. And that could definitely be considered upper funnel. But the ability to do targeting to the level that DSP has with those things is nowhere near. And it's not going to be, because Amazon wants to keep that in Amazon DSP. But I think it is possible to do that. And like I said, it's free. It's just, you know, there is some costs on Amazon's side because they're hosting your data. So they're the ones kind of like footing the bill for it, you know, not that they're paying, because it's their AWS.
You know, what's interesting. Not one of these things that we've mentioned so far is, unavailable in like Google Analytics. Like Google Analytics for like a decade has had like these conversion, and even Google Ads, like the conversion, I want to only look at last click. I only want to look at first click. I want to split it up evenly. I want to do some own custom calculation, or show me everyone who's viewed a YouTube ad and this other ad at the same, you know, in their journey, run that, you know, that's actually been around for quite some time. It's very, really interesting. The differences, I think, between how Google runs their ad platform and Amazon. Amazon's really like velvet rope with a bouncer. It's like, oh, you want this? Like,
absolutely.
It's going to cost more money. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, it's not money in the sense that you pay them directly for it, but there's costs associated with, well, who in the team is going to do it? You know, who on your company, if you're the e-commerce seller yourself, if you're an agency, who's going to do it? There's got to be someone who's your point person, who's like the pro. So that's the minimum requirement, if you will.
You got to be on DSP. And we've got plenty of content on DSP too. So I think we've done it. 31 minutes. Amazon Marketing Cloud. What percentage of your clients would you say are like you're using this for? What percentage?
Oh, very small percentage. Very small percentage. I myself have been diving into this really deep because I find it intensely interesting. And I have a firm belief that it's like the future of where Amazon reporting and you know, data analysis is heading in our ecosystem. But the reality is, you know, only a small percentage of our clients really spend a sufficient amount on DSP. And then of them, only a couple of them we've gotten these instances started for and have really started doing serious querying for it. So this is like cutting edge stuff, like bleeding edge stuff. Although we are onboarding a couple more AMC accounts this month, we've already like got the request in to set them up.
Cool.
But, you know, setting it up and actually using it to answer these complicated business questions is two different things. And I wanted to say one thing, like Amazon stores 13 months of rolling data for you in there. And if you want to pull it out and store it yourself in your own database, you can do that. So you have more than 13 months, but you're able to query, you know, with these queries in you know, near real time, at least. Usually it's like the next day you get the results, 13 months of data. So that's a pretty substantial amount of data considering they're tracking everything, every single action that's taking place related to people that interact with your ads.
Well, there we go. We've done it. Amazon Marketing Cloud. Well, Brent from AMZ Pathfinder, where can the good people reach out to you in case they have even more questions about Amazon Marketing Cloud?
Yeah, sure. You can reach out to me personally, just brent@amzpathfinder.com on email. You can go to brent.bike, which is my personal website, and that has links to like social media for Pathfinder and our website and stuff like that. Happy to say we have a new website as of last month. It's looking pretty spiffy. So go there and check it out and let us know if it loads slowly so we can do some speed testing analysis.
Cool personal site. Look at this. I'm going to look at your Strava here. What are you doing on Strava? Ah, you just went for a 83 kilometer ride.
No problem.
Which is no problem. 51 miles. Look at that. Beautiful. Well, follow Brent on Strava.
Definitely do that. Yeah. Highly recommend that. Yeah. Yeah. That's my major social network actually. So
yes, I vicariously exercise through you. So thanks for doing that. Well, Brent, thank you so much for coming on the show, teaching us a little bit about Amazon Marketing Cloud. And I'm sure you'll be back. And everyone else, I'll see you next week here on the PPC Den Podcast.